Welcome to the Women Who Fights podcast. We empower female fighters to take full agency over their training. Our goal is to celebrate and inspire others with the incredible action women and allies are taking to level the playing field. We talk to experts, uncover prejudice, and champion what's driving our progress.
And today we have Brianna with us. Brianna is a Canadian grappler with an athletic upbringing, playing competitive rugby throughout her teens. Brianna started jiu-jitsu in 2016 when she was 19 and has exploded in the scene of high-level jiu-jitsu in the last 2 years. Last year, she fought her way through the ADCC East Coast Trials to win the first place and ultimately won the silver medal at the 2022 Fantastic ADCC show. She will be fighting on Polaris this week, the biggest UK grappling invitational on the first ever Women's Grand Prix. So, Brianna, you were into rugby for a big period of your time, childhood till 2017. How was that? Tell us a little bit about the experience, the intensity. What was that like?
Rugby was absolutely fantastic. I think I'd still be playing it right now if I didn't find jiu-jitsu. I mean, it's very similar to jiu-jitsu in a lot of ways. Like, it's kind of like this, it's a contact sport, but it's kind of like this, like, small community where, you know, if you meet someone else and you find out that they play rugby, you can kind of get along right away. You know, I don't know if soccer has that, to be honest. and it's, I definitely really, like, enjoyed the physicality of rugby. I think there's something, like, satisfying in contact sports that kind of, like, drew me in. And I found it, like, a bit more exciting than the other sports I had tried previously. And actually, it's funny that I'm back here in the UK talking about rugby, because the last time I was in the UK was for rugby. We had gone on, like, tour with, like, my rugby club back when I was, like, 14 years old. And we had gone to England, Ireland, and Wales for kind of, like, a tour. And it was really funny because we got pretty much absolutely owned by everyone that we played around here, because you guys take rugby really seriously. So happy to be back.
So do you all have cauliflower ears like jiu-jitsu or no?
I think kind of like jiu-jitsu, it depends. Where, like, in jiu-jitsu, I feel like it's like your style can affect whether or not you get cauliflower. And obviously some people's ears are more susceptible. And I think in rugby, like certain positions, like if you're in the scrum, I think you're going to be like more susceptible to having cauliflower ear. But since I played mostly in the backs, I played a couple summers in the forwards, but I was usually at either flanker if I was playing in the forwards or in the back. So my ears were like relatively safe. Yeah.
I mean, how is rugby a big sport in Canada? Because I know like American football is obviously huge in America, but I don't know how it translates, because yeah, we don't do American football here or anything like that. We just have rugby.
Yeah, I think that it's, I think it's like relatively big. Like obviously like hockey and stuff like that is, and soccer are probably the most popular sports. But I mean, if you look at like, for example, our female team, like the women's sevens team came, I think they received the silver medal in the Olympics, you know? So actually like, the rugby programs are doing really well in Canada. I just don't know if it's as big as like some of the other sports that we have here for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you started jiu-jitsu full time in 2000. I don't know when you started that full time, but you started in 2016. When did you kind of go, ooh, this is now going to take over my sort of sporting life/life?
So it's funny, actually, the moment that I decided to kind of stop playing rugby to focus on jiu-jitsu was because I broke my hand in jiu-jitsu. So I was at like just like a gi training and my hand got caught in the gi, and it was like a total fluke. And I broke the last bone of my hand here. And then I just remember like it was like about a, it wasn't as that dramatic a recovery. I think I was out for like, well, I actually never stopped. I kept showing up to class rolling with like a cast on, which smelled awful by the time they took it off. I would train with this cast on, and then like take like Lysol wipes with a fork and like shove it down the cast and like convince myself that that was like sanitary. Anyways, real nasty stuff. I just remember thinking to myself, like when I went back to, at that point, like there was one crossover where I was like, I started jiu-jitsu, but then when like the summer rugby season started, I like had signed up to play. And then I broke my hand. And then I thought to myself that had I broken my hand in rugby and not been able to do jiu-jitsu, I would have been like way more upset than I was at like having to miss rugby because of this accident in jiu-jitsu, if that makes sense, right? So I kind of was like, oh, I actually like don't want to take the chance of getting hurt doing rugby and then not be able to do jiu-jitsu. So then I kind of like stepped back from rugby a little. Yeah.
Wow. And what was that sort of transition like, leaving one world and entering another? Was that quite seamless? Had you already sort of made your space in jiu-jitsu? Because it sounds like rugby was a really tight-knit community.
I think because I had played rugby for like so many years, and then because I had kind of a like crossover period where I had still like tried to do both jiu-jitsu and rugby, it felt like the transition was a little bit easier. You know, it wasn't like I stopped like rugby cold turkey and like just decided to only focus on jiu-jitsu. I kind of like tried doing both and then realized that it made more sense for me to focus on jiu-jitsu. And I'm sure everyone who like has really fallen in love with jiu-jitsu knows it can kind of be like really like addictive and like kind of takes over a little bit in your life. So for me, like the transition actually like wasn't too bad. That being said, like if I go watch like my friends play rugby, then I'll get like really nostalgic and I'll miss playing rugby for sure. Like I think watching others do it is like probably the hardest thing. But besides that, it was okay. Yeah.
Did anyone of your team, of your crew, try jiu-jitsu with you or not?
So actually I have like, what's funny right now is my friend, one of my main training partners, Ariane, she like decided to sign up for rugby for fun. So she started playing like recreationally in like a league in the summer. And then because she started doing that, she brought in a bunch of like rugby girls to try jiu-jitsu. And then actually like one of those girls was a girl I used to play with like back in the day. So yeah, now there's kind of having those worlds being mixed a little bit, which is really cool. And I do think like, actually my sister, to be honest, was someone that I was like really hoping would get into jiu-jitsu because she played rugby at a higher level than me and she was really great. And I was hoping like, oh, you know, now that she's like done playing rugby, she's going to want to do something else. But the issue is a lot of them too is if they stop playing rugby, you know, it's a high contact sport. So like, for example, my sister, she had already had like a huge knee injury. She had had a bad concussion. So she didn't really want to like get involved in another whole like contact sport. And I've had a couple of my other like old rugby friends like tell me something similar, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you think it's more likely though to get hurt in rugby than jiu-jitsu? Like, because when I watch rugby matches, I love watching it and I think I would love to play it, except for the fact that I'm already quite injury prone. So, but just seeing rugby, the way, how fast paced it is and how I feel like it can be even more what's the word, unpredictable than jiu-jitsu, even though jiu-jitsu you're actually trying to break someone's leg. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll say, I guess it's a hard one, right? Because I think if you practice jiu-jitsu in a way that's like healthy, which not all of us do, then maybe that's true. But like I feel like in rugby, it was like a very honest kind of pain, you know, where it was like, someone's going to like run into me and like hit, and then we're going to like, they're going to hit me hard and we're going to crash into the ground and like, I'm going to scratch up my knees. And then someone's going to come in and like step on me as they like maul over my body and stuff, you know, but it was like, everything was very like honest, and versus jiu-jitsu feels like this like virus that's invaded every single one of my joints in my body and has caused it to slowly deteriorate. So, I don't know which one's worse, honestly, because like now I, you know, my body hurts like all the time. But yeah, I'm actually doing a lot of mobility work and I'm trying to get better at that, but and training smarter and stuff, you know. But yeah, I think I have to say which one's worse on the body.
It's good to hear from like such a high level athlete that's yeah. how it goes.
So let's move to your jiu-jitsu life. So you've started jiu-jitsu, you won so many things. Everyone now knows you after ADCC. And people often on social media, because that's how we know jiu-jitsu athletes from abroad, see the flashing lights, the nice podium pictures, the medals, the smiles. What sacrifices did you make for the sport? Tell us the darker side of it.
I think, well, the first thing I could touch on is definitely like, struggles with injuries. Like obviously, there's always a hard line when you're training like full time in a sport where you're supposed to like, you know, it's like, okay, I'm doing this full time. So if I feel like really tired one day, it's like always that question of like, is this like one of those days where like I'm tired and my body hurts and like my knee's aching and I'm supposed to be like a responsible athlete who's like, who takes like a rest, doesn't train as hard, but maybe goes and like, you know, studies technique or like drills lightly or whatever? Or is it like, oh, you're a professional athlete, like this is the day you're supposed to come in and like push through the pain because like this is your job and like you want to be at like the top, you know? So I have like leaned towards like training too hard in the past. And because of that, I had like problems with my knee, my shoulder, and then most like over the past year, like some really bad lower back issues that have been a pretty hard struggle mentally to, as well as physically, to get over. So that's always like a big part of it. And then I guess the other side of things too is just, you know, if you're ever gonna like really like get into something obsessively, which you kind of like have to a certain extent if you want to like be the very best in the world at it, which is like my goal, you know, there's a certain like kind of like loneliness, like not, and like, you know, you kind of like, you have to like say no to a lot of things. It's like you all see my friends like, you know, quite a bit less than I did before when I wasn't doing this kind of thing. And you maybe live like a slightly different like lifestyle. So there's definitely like, and my friends are all amazing, you know, and super supportive. And even if I only hang out with them like once every 2 months, like they're, you know, they're absolutely great about it. But definitely like, you know, sometimes I hear about like all these other fun things that people are doing and I'm like, oh, like that sounds nice. Like, should I be doing some of that too? You know? So, but obviously I'm like really happy with like what I've done with my life, but yeah, just like stuff like that, you know?
I mean, was that something that you consciously decided to do? You thought, okay, I'm going, this is the path that I've chosen to take, or was it more like you fell into it? So, because you started training jiu-jitsu a few years ago, was it immediately like, this is what I'm now going to do full time, these are the sacrifices I'm willing to make, or was it something which you suddenly just found yourself in?
I would say it started off like I kind of fell into it. I definitely like didn't have any intentions on like doing this professionally when I started. I even just started competing because in my mind, like having done sports my whole life, I just thought that like competition was like, and I didn't realize you like in jiu-jitsu, you kind of have like the choice to compete because you spar every day in training and whatnot. But then when I started jiu-jitsu and there was like a competition that came to town, in my mind, it was like, oh, like I have to sign up for it because it's like what's happening in the gym is like the practice and like this is like the game, you know? So I didn't think much of it. I was just like, oh, this is what people do. So I just started competing kind of for that reason. And then I had good results. And at the time, Leonardo Saggioro, who's one of my first coaches, he's like a really great world-class black belt. And he was like competing at all these major tournaments. And he was really great because he was really encouraging of everyone like to always compete. And like he would make it like, if you want to compete, like, you know, come to my classes and oh, I'm traveling to this tournament, so like you can come too and whatever, you know. So it kind of just like, I kind of just fell into it. And then I did like one, like, you know, of the IBJJF majors. And again, I did well in it. And then I thought, oh, okay, well, if I'm like, you know, good at this, then you kind of like get it kind of like snowballs, right? It's like, oh, I did well at like a big stage, so maybe I should keep doing stuff at a big stage, you know? And then at that point when I like started to like really like set in my mind, like, oh, I could actually be like good at this. And then just also the fact that like, I just love jujitsu. So either way, like the thought of like training more and like sacrificing other things to train, like kind of came easily. Like for me, like a big thing was like, if I was going to like rugby practice, like the rugby games I'd be really excited for, but let's say rugby practice, it'd be like, oh, if someone offered you one night, like, oh, would you rather go to a rugby practice or like stay in and watch like Netflix or something, I'd be like, oh, probably I want to stay in and watch Netflix, you know, if I have the choice, but I'm going to go to practice because you're supposed to. But then with jujitsu, I was like, oh, I would like by far and away, like rather go to jujitsu. So I think it was like the combination of those two things. Like I was competing and doing well, and I was surrounded by people who were like, you know, hungry to compete at the highest level. And then also I was just like, just having like so much fun, you know? So I think it kind of like made it easy to start sacrificing the small things to pursue like this jujitsu goal.
Wow. And what's a normal day of training like for you? Because you're full time, yeah. That's your goal. How is it different to what it was?
Yeah, I mean, like, so when I first was training, I was, like, when I first started training hard, let's say, I wasn't, like, full time yet. I had, like, school, and I would work, like, part time jobs at, like, restaurants and stuff. So I just, like, at that time, I just, like, stopped going to school. Like, I was still, like, in classes, but I just, like, stopped attending them. And then I would just, like, cram for all my finals. So I got, like, my degree, but I don't feel like I feel like I just kind of, like, I don't know, you couldn't, like, I don't feel like I deserved it in a way because I kind of just, like, did it last minute on the side as this, like, thing that to do more for my parents. But anyways, so there I was actually, I might have arguably been doing more jujitsu at that time in my life. In the sense of like hard roles, like at that time it was like you train twice a day. I was training twice a day every day and like big sessions, like each of those sessions was like, oh, you're rolling like, you know, 8 to 10 times. And they're like the type of roles where you give like your whole life to, you know? And then I like now my body coming out of that like period of my life where I was rolling like that every day, was just like mangled. I had like torn ligaments in my knee at one point. And then I also like, herniated disc in my back. So it was just like all these terrible things. And then the pandemic hit. And then I thought to myself, like, oh, well, I didn't even think to myself, to be honest, I was just like forced to, right? You couldn't train. And then even when I could start training, with like a bubble, it wasn't feasible to do it more than once a day. So I was only doing like an actual like hard session once a day. And then the rest of the time I was either studying jujitsu, like practicing techniques, like just in my basement, or doing like strength and conditioning. And I actually found like during that period, my jujitsu actually got like way better. And then because of that, when like things opened back up to usual again, I was like, oh, like my jujitsu's better, I'm having better training sessions, my body feels healthier, so like maybe I'm gonna stick to this kind of like newer, smarter routine, right? I'm not actually like doing less work in terms of like total hours. Like if anything I'm doing more, you know, hours towards jujitsu, all the time I take to study, to practice technique, but I'm doing less of those like live hard hours. So sorry, this is like a long way to answer, but I also hope if someone listening to this like skips the part where they destroy their body, you know, and skips right away to like training effectively. But I would say an average day, like I usually do like, let's say on Mondays, I do a lot of situational sparring. I really like that. So if I look at like a Monday, I get to the gym, I do like about 40 minutes of mobility work. Then we have a wrestling class with, a Olympic silver medalist wrestler, really great guy, excellent teacher. So I do his class. So that'll be my like high intensity thing for the day. We do like an hour technique and then we do like live rounds. And then I go home, I have lunch. I come back at 5 PM and I do, an hour of situational sparring. So we just run through, different positions that like, we're having trouble with, but with resistance, but it's a little bit lower intensity than, like, let's say a full sparring round. And then review technique, and then I would maybe teach a class or something. Yeah, so, like, a little bit less, like, just, like, you know, 20 rounds of, like crazy hard sparring.
I feel like that's, like, something that everyone, I mean, goes through to in their own way, whether that's just their training 4 or 5 times a week, but it's just crazy and they're doing that as well as working. And so it's, like, their max output. And then everyone goes through that. Everyone seems to get injured. Like, it's like, yeah. It feels like that's quite, well, not everyone. I definitely did something similar, but, like, on a much lower intensity level, but it was high intensity for me. Just kept getting injured and then finally realized that strength and conditioning was this thing that everyone else was doing that I was like, huh, seems to, like, this strength thing seems to really help.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go on. Have you found that that's helped your preventing injuries as well as, like, just being stronger?
I definitely, like, I think so. Like, I feel like, especially I think, like, a moment for me when I did, like, I tore, like, my PCL and my LCL and my knee. And, like, 90% of my physio, like, rehab was strength and conditioning, you know? Like, was building it, like, strength in certain ways, like, after the injury, you know? So that for me was, like, a big moment. And then I, like, was more, like, diligent about it going forward. And I think, like, it's, like, so you can do, like, you know, what they call, like, prehab with strength and conditioning. People who are more, can talk about this stuff better than I can, obviously. But I feel like just, like, it forced me also just to pay attention to my body, you know? And, like, even when like my strength and conditioning coach, he works in, like, a lot of mobility work too within my programs and stuff like that. So all this was just, like, I think, like, a general, like, yeah, just, like, focus in on your body and, like, making it feel, like, powerful and strong as opposed to, like, barely holding on, you know?
Yeah. That's a big difference. That's a very big difference to feeling like your body is, like, responding well to what you're trying to do. Yeah. Have you found that that's also affected your mentality, like your mental, being physically healthier and happier? Has that affected your mental state as well?
100%. I mean, like, I feel that, I think because I feel like I'm just, like, locked in this cycle of, like, different injuries. Like, when I feel healthy, I feel like I'm so, like, grateful. I feel, like, powerful. I feel like, I think to myself, like, and everyone deals with it. I'm not, like, you know, saying my SAP story. I'm sure every single athlete could come in here and talk to you about the injuries they get. It's part of the game. But just to say that, like, you know, when my body does feel good, I just feel like, I feel like the best possible version of myself. I feel, like, confident on the mats. I feel, like, excited to learn different techniques. I'm not, like, seeing a technique and being like, ooh, I don't know if that's going to work today because my shoulder's acting up or whatever, you know? So it definitely helps me feel like kind of like a powerful athlete, I guess.
That's amazing.
And how do you control your nerves? How do you psychologically prepare for a tournament or a very big grappling show? I mean, do you have nerves?
Yeah, most definitely. And I always tell everyone, like, my nerves have not, like, they were horrible in my very first competition. And they've been, like, horrible since. Like, you can catch me, like, in the bullpen with my water bottle, like, absolutely trembling, like, water flying everywhere. I think I depend on, like, rituals, you know? Like, I have my routine and I, like, try to, like, I coach myself, right? I'm like, okay, like, you, even though you feel this way, and you feel this anxiety and everything, like, once you make contact with the person, it's like, it's just jujitsu, which is what you do every day. And, like, you've felt this way in the past and you've still performed, you know, because every time I feel, like, with the anxiety, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to, like, be horrible. Like, there's no way that I could feel this way and then go perform well. And I remind myself that, like, in the past, I've, like, conquered these feelings, and had a good performance. And I definitely, like, try to become just, like, just perform the steps, you know, like, I have my warm up that I do every single time. I have the music I listen to. I'm like, just don't like be present in the moment, but don't overthink either. And just like follow the steps and like trust the process, like trust your training. And then when I like about to step on the mats, it's super cheesy, but it gets the job done. I just like, I think obsessively of just like everyone who's like helped me like prepare, and like all the people who like, I don't know, are like in my life that are like so supportive of what I'm doing. And I just think about how like, even if I like get submitted in like 10 seconds, like those people are just gonna be like, okay, like how do we fix it? Like, let's do this, you know? And like, they're not gonna give a shit that I lost, you know? And they're gonna be psyched for me if I win. And I just think like, oh, just do as best as you can for them. And like, nothing else matters, you know? So I just like run through their faces. And then I try like not to look at anything else. That's it, Lily.
I mean, it's so different. If you think about it, rugby it's a group sport. It's like, so you're kind of hidden within everyone else, whereas jiu-jitsu, all the eyes are on you. Like, everyone is watching you.
I know, it's totally different. Like, I definitely felt that. Like, I wasn't like I felt like my first jiu-jitsu competition, like on, like leading up to it, I was just like, again, I felt very like casual about the whole thing. I was just like, oh, like it's just like game time, you know? And then I just remember getting to the venue, and then I like just started to feel like nerves that I'd never felt before, like in rugby. And I'd been nervous for rugby before, like I 100%, but I think with jiu-jitsu, you get that, like, it's the adrenaline, I guess, that like mixes in with that. And just makes you feel like I've never like, a little crude here, but I've never like started a rugby match and been like, oh my God, I'm either going to like piss myself, poop myself, or puke right now. Like, you know, like I 100% feel that like almost like before every jiu-jitsu match, I'm like, I have to like remind myself. I'm like, no, you literally just went to the bathroom. Like, you're fine. So like, it's definitely like, yeah, like it's like, in rugby, it's like, okay, like the team wins and the team loses, and like for sure you have like you have your like good performance and you're like psyched, and if you have a bad performance, you can be honest with yourself and be like, I could have done better. But yeah, there's definitely something special about like, you know, I guess any individual sport where you're just like walking out alone there and doing your thing, and like just kind of like you're putting yourself up for judgment, I guess, you know, which is another hard part of the sport. Yeah,
it is. It's like performing. I mean, you said called, you know, it's your performance, but you're actually performing on a stage, which still blows my mind. Like, you know, it's particularly at like a big invitational, but even at like a competition, you've got all of these eyes watching you. Do you ever, like, once you start rolling in a comp or show, what happens? Are you still sort of with those feelings, or does that all just leave when you start fighting? And is that then like, yeah, where does your mind go?
So I think that aspect has been the biggest struggle for me, where I feel like very awkward when I'm on these like stages, and I feel like overly observed. So I start like hyper analyzing like every movement, to be like I'll take a grip, or I'll move in a certain way, and I'll think to myself like, oh shit, like did that look stupid? Was that bad jiu-jitsu? Like, should I have like moved differently? Was that weird how I moved like that? Or am I not moving enough? Like, am I moving too much? Like, that's hardly my problem. But if anything, I move a little, not enough, you know, but yeah, I definitely like, and even it extends like sometimes like it's happened, like people, like sponsors have come to like film me during training. And then the second they come to film me, I just feel like I start moving weirdly. I'm like, I just start like overthinking everything I'm doing. And then actually, like for me, both like, I guess like it was a nice moment, but I saw it was telling that it's something I have to work on, because actually when I came to Nogi Worlds, I had just done like a whole string of competitions where I felt very observed, you know, like, well, I just had done like the ADCC where, you know, there was like 12,000 spectators. And then with like every, like the opening round, okay, you're three people fighting. Then semifinals, okay, you're only like two pairs fighting. And then the finals, it's like you alone on the mats. And it's just like, and then after that, I did the who's number one, and the who's number one, two. It's like they call you on. It's like everyone's just watching you. And then when I showed up to like Nogi Worlds on the first day, especially, I actually like felt this like huge feeling of like relief, because I was like, oh my God, I'm actually just like, there was 10 mats going on at the same time. So I was like, even if like, maybe like, you know, I could see like flow grappling kind of coming to like film like a little like thing of the match or something, I just felt so like lost in the crowd. And I felt like so much more like myself, you know? Mm. So I think that's definitely something that I struggle with the most, is like, I just overanalyze, like, especially when it's like these like shows where it's like just like you and that one other person and everyone's focusing on you. And definitely like, you know, the faster like paced the match, then sometimes I can get away from it because you're just like too much in the match, you know? But then in those moments where it's like slower, that's something I need to work on for sure, is not like overthinking in those moments.
Have you always felt supported or seen throughout your full-time athletic career?
Yeah, definitely, like especially like from my people back home. I actually like another thing too that I feel like I try to bring into competition is I'm like, I feel that like I really have like all of like Montreal behind me, and I like I have so many like friends from different gyms who've like kind of like stepped up to help me like, you know, like train for different things, and like sometimes you need smaller training partners, and I feel that like there's been so many people who've like you know, given me free privates essentially. And like I remember like for example, once I was doing like it was my first time doing combat jiu-jitsu, and I'd never done an EBI overtime before. And then my friend Corey from 10th Planet was like, oh, like if you want to come by the gym, this week, we can just like work on EBI overtime all week, you know? Just like moments like that, I feel like I've experienced a lot of like people being willing to help me. And then like, obviously at like my home teams as well, like they're just like, really selfless and like helping me prepare for competition, like always willing to like work around to help me prepare. So in that way, I definitely feel like very, very supported. Yeah. I don't know if that's like the angle you were talking about, but yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Have you, we sort of touched on some sort of things you've found challenging, but is there any big challenges that you haven't mentioned that you faced within your career and your life that goes alongside it?
I think maybe like another thing, you know, worth talking about, is, you know, there's a reality too, that it's like not easy to make a living, in the sport. And I think like, I definitely got like, I was like, really like, okay, like I have to do this. And like, I really like, I want to be the best, and I'm going to make my living through jiu-jitsu and this and that, which is like great. And I'm like, again, I'm happy with the choices I made. But there was definitely like really big periods in my life where like, you know, I struggled, like especially like during the pandemic for sure, because everything slowed down. And, you know, I dealt with like a lot of like anxiety, uncertainty, and like kind of like, oh my God, like did I, should I have like, you know, gone on to do like a master's or something at school? Or should I have like looked to get a job as soon as I graduated? Or like, cause what if I can't make a living through this? And like, and then obviously like, to people, like, you know, some people too, they like, you know, rightfully so, like they care about you and they want to know, they're kind of like, they'll question like, oh, like, okay, yeah, it's cool that you're doing this, but like, what are your real plans, you know? And then like sitting with those conversations, like, it's like, you know, I'd always answer super confidently, like, oh, like I'm fine, I know what I'm doing. But it was definitely like something that I found like, yeah, I don't know. It's like a lot of like, you, let's say if you want to like get a regular 9-to-5 job, maybe you don't have to be like the best, in your company to make like a living, let's say. But then sometimes it feels like as an athlete, it's like, oh, like it's really great that you're like working full time at this. But if you could work full time at being an athlete and just not be in the top 10 in the world, because it's just like, there's other people who are like, even if you're working just as hard, they're just like, they're better suited for this. And like, they're just like, they're really excellent at what they do. And then it's really scary having like your performance like so tied to like your ability to make a living. And again, obviously there's alternate routes, like where you don't have to be a world champion to be like successful at making money in jiu-jitsu. But it's like, if you are going to choose the tact of like training full-time to compete and not teach, then you kind of do have to perform to a certain extent to like make a living. So I think like all that stuff is like, it's definitely something that's like really hard to deal with. And, I think too, what would help, and I'm trying to be like, when people ask me questions about like, for example, like how much money I make on stuff, like I try to be like really like open about that. Because even when I started trying to like make money for stuff, it was like, I didn't even know like what I should be asking for like fights. I didn't know like what I should be asking for seminars. So there's a, like a lot of, I'm kind of like just rambling on, but there's a lot of like uncertainty and stuff. So I think like, you know, one, like we can all like maybe like communicate and be like open to like, you know, mentoring the future generations and just, I think this whole thing about like not talking about money, is actually not beneficial to anyone except for like maybe the people signing the checks, right? Because if no one knows what each other's getting paid, then maybe they can pay a little less. But yeah, so I don't know what my point is here. I think I've just rambled on in like 8 different directions, but I think that that's also been just a struggle in general, is like the whole like making a living aspect. And I'm finally in a place where I feel like comfortable, but that was definitely like really hard to get there. And I hope that like in the future, like there's maybe more guidance for like athletes in that aspect.
Yeah. Have you felt that that was impacted because you're a woman in the sport as well? Or has that not been such an issue for you? Earning money and earning enough through competing?
Yeah. So it's like, I think it's a combination, where for sure there's like some, promotions out there who maybe pay women less. And that I'm hoping like is moving in the right direction. You know, I mean like, ADCC, like, I mean, obviously it's for sure. Okay. Our divisions were smaller, but like we wanted the bigger divisions, you know, and then, we received like, our pay was like, you know, half that of the men. But I mean, like, I think things are moving like, in the right direction. Like Mo, the organizer, is fighting for us to have more divisions, with more women. So I'm hoping that that also comes with like equal pay, you know, if we have those 16 women divisions, I'm hoping that we also have like the equal pay on the prize money. And then I think too, sometimes it's like self-imposed, where I feel like I put myself down, you know, where I'm like, I'm shy. I'm there. Like, it's hard to explain. Like, I guess it's like imposter syndrome maybe or something like that, but where I feel like I don't have like the right to like ask for a certain amount of money. Or like, I think to myself, like for example, like, okay, I came in second at ADCC. And then I think to myself like, oh, like who's going to want to learn from number two? Like, you know, like why wouldn't you just want to go learn from number one? Right. But then I thought to myself, and I was like, so like shy to ask for a certain amount of money. And then I think to myself about like men who are ranked like way lower than me in their divisions. And like, they have like, they're not shy to like ask for like what they're worth based on the years of like training and the work that they've put in to like develop a skill. And so I'm not saying that they should be like more humble. I'm like, they're doing great. Like they're making a living doing their work. And like, just because you're not like, you didn't like, you know, win ADCC doesn't mean that you don't have something valuable to share. And that you're not like a good teacher or that your technique is like garbage, you know? And I think that like, it's both, right? Like, I think that there's things that need to improve in the field, where some promotions are not paying women equally. So that needs to change. And then also, for me myself, and I don't know if this applies to anyone else, men or women, but I think like getting rid of that like imposter syndrome and feeling like you're not like good enough to ask for a certain amount of money or like all these things, is something like that me myself, I have to work on, you know?
Absolutely. And the more you talk about it and the more you vocalize it, the better it's going to be. Because many people will be struggling with the same issue. Let's go on Polaris now.
Yeah.
So what are you most excited about? Who are you most excited to fight on Polaris? Tell us a little bit about what your thoughts are.
So I feel like, again, I feel like Polaris is like, this division is like, it really makes me think of ADCC because it's just like, there's like so many great names in the division that it's like hard to pinpoint that like, oh, like, you know, probably it's going to be like me and this girl in the final. It's like, I don't even know how this whole thing is going to like go down. And then like in terms of like who I want to fight. So I fought 3 of the women in the division before. So obviously like fighting any one of those. So I fought Fionn, I fought Liz Clay, and I fought Amy Campos before. So obviously like any one of those rematches would be like, really, really cool. And it's like, what's wild too is that, you know, there's like so many different like challenges, right? You know, cause there's like different styles, and then there's also like, you know, probably like opponents who are maybe going to be a bit bigger. But then they're cutting weights, you know, you never know how that like plays into things. But I think like everyone's styles are like so drastically different. So it's like, yeah, sorry, this is like a really like lame answer. I'm like, I'm excited to fight everyone. Like, obviously, no, I don't want to fight everyone. You know, that's another thing too. When you have these like really scary brackets, you gotta remind yourself that like, you actually don't have to fight everyone. Cause sometimes like, it's like ADCC. I was like, I'm not actually fighting. Like, it's not a round robin. I don't have to fight like 7 of these women. You know, it's like, it's only gonna be 3 on this night, you know? So yeah, I mean, I have no answer. I think any matchup is going to be a good one. Obviously, like, you know, there's like Amy and Giovanna maybe are going to be the bigger women coming into this tournament. So it'll be cool to see how like that plays in. Again, like I heard someone comment like something about it being like kind of like the absolute division that we didn't get at ADCC. And like, I think that that's kind of true. Obviously, some people missing, but it's going to be really cool to see how it plays out. Sorry, this was a really lame answer.
No, it was perfect. How was the ADCC final with Fionn? What was that like?
It was really cool. Like, I think, like, obviously, like, you know, you go back. And I actually didn't, like, watch the final. Like, one of my friends actually, like, did, like, this whole breakdown for me. And I really respect his jiu-jitsu. So I wanted to watch the breakdown, but I felt like it was like too like emotionally charged for me. Cause I felt like it's like, I felt like ADCC like, is like one of my like biggest goals. Like it is my biggest goal, to be honest. So, and then I felt like I really like went into this like obsessive mode where, and then I had like, you know, the 2 trials, and it felt like, and everything I was doing in my mind was like leading up to this event was like preparation for ADCC. Like, it was really like everything I did was like, okay, I'll be better for this day, you know? So the final itself was like, was really great. Like Fionn was a really great opponent. Again, like obviously going back, there's like a tons of stuff I would change. And I think too, just like, trying to like be better at dealing with like that, like feeling like so like observed, you know? And then also, I mean, like the final 2, like I also tried to like take small moments to like appreciate life, you know. I was like, oh, like this is like really fucking wild that like 12,000 people are watching like our finals right now, you know. And I'm fighting like one of the athletes that like I've watched since I was like a colored belt, and I think she's great, and she's like super well rounded, and I was like, this is like while the, you know, I get to fight on this platform. So I was like trying to like take small moments to be like, okay, this is cool. Like, remember this moment, like one day this is going to like mean so much to you, even though right now you're like too much in it to like really appreciate it. I think Fionn's great. I'm sure we might fight each other at Polaris. And if not, I'm sure we're going to fight each other like a whole bunch more. So I look forward to it. I think that there'll be exciting fights.
And how important is it to have shows that actively support women?
I mean, to me, it just, like, it makes me feel so, like, inspired and, like, hopeful for the future, because, like, I feel that, like, sometimes I'm just so sick of, like, the one, like, token women's fight, you know? And, like, I feel like it's definitely, like, to the point where, like women's jiu-jitsu is, like, huge, and, like, we deserve more, you know? And, like, I mean, you even see, like, at, like, the West Coast Trials, you know, like, we had, like, some of our divisions were, like, more full than, like, the men's divisions. And it's just, like, I feel like we're past that, you know? And, like, so sometimes I see promotions like Polaris right now, who decided to invest in women's jiu-jitsu and do this Grand Prix and offer us, like, equal prize money as the men's Grand Prix that happened, like, a couple months ago. And then once in a while, there's still something that will, like, pop up and, like, remind me we got some ways to go, you know? So the work is not done. But I think that, like, slowly but surely it's improving. And, like, to be honest, like, I'm not objective in this maybe analysis, but I do feel, like, that the women's matches are, like, actually very exciting, like, very, very often, you know? I mean, just last night at the IBJJF Grand Prix, like, watching, like, Tata and Janina, like, throw down was, like so entertaining and, like, I think is, like, great for, like, in terms of, show jiu-jitsu where, like, you know, professional jiu-jitsu, I should say, show jiu-jitsu, professional jiu-jitsu, you know, like, that's the type of action that, like, people want to see, and I think that, like, every time the women are given a chance, like, we do, like, we go above and beyond, you know? So I think, like, we need to keep doing that, and people need to start, like, investing in us, you know, because we're doing our job, and we, like, deserve more than, like, that one fight, you know?
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Marina, do you have any questions, more questions you want to ask? No? Okay, well, we'll ask our final question, and we ask this to all of our guests. And the question is, what are you fighting for?
I guess it's so hard. Like, even though you, like, warned me about this question, I was like, oh my God. It, like, makes me think of, like, at the end of, like, Lex Friedman podcast, how he, like, goes, like, what's the meaning of life? And, like, even if you know you're going to get asked that, like, how do you figure that out? I mean, I think, like, honestly, like, I feel like I'm fighting for, like, the life I want to live. I love, like, spending my days at the gym, both, like, working to, like, get better at this, like beautiful thing of jiu-jitsu. And at the same time, like, I love the, like, the community I get to be a part of, and I love sharing that and, like, teaching others, and, like, giving that feeling to other people. And I feel that, like, when I go out to fight, I'm, like, fighting for the right to, like, live this really cool life, you know? And I think that, like, the first time I did all these, like, kind of big shows, I thought to my, like, and it's so cool, like, you show up and, like, someone's actually paying you to grapple. And I just think, like, okay, like, just fight with your whole heart so you can, like, keep doing this kind of, like, really cool stuff, you know? And yeah, so I guess that's what I fight for.
No, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you guys for challenging me with that question.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Women Who Fight podcast. And credit to Will Grant for being our songwriter and sound editor. Please subscribe and share and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at womenwhofight.co.uk and check out our website for more content.